Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and I'm going to go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy. How are you doing tonight?
Well, my brain hurts right now. We're going to be talking about consciousness and super consciousness and unconsciousness and my brain.
Super consciousness. I know, right?
I was playing around here a little bit. So part of, we'll just dive into this conversation, but I found this quote from Henry Ford, who said, "Thinking is hard work. That's why so few people do it."
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, you got to go back to the time period of when he wrote that. My gosh, that was what, in the early 1900s, for sure. We get that. So tonight's show is called The Sensible Mind. And I really got into it just for the fact that I thought it was such an interesting aspect of the conscious mind. And boy, if you look at that in just some different aspects of conscious mind, you know, it's the ability to talk and listen, processing information and reasoning. And what's interesting is usually we really don't start accessing our conscious mind until about the age of 6. And that means basically the aspects of information and reasoning and things like that, kind of what we're talking about. And it really doesn't go until about the age of 6. We're not really folding that into education to see how, you know, we're going to operate according to our sensible mind, which is the conscious mind. And it's really about discernment in looking at the way that we're able to come from a place of education or development, a sense of ownership of different things we have. You know, when you're 6 years old, that's mine. I think that starts way earlier than 6, but in the way that they do different things. And, you know, being able to do stuff that's comparative with rational mind. One of the things I found was really interesting when I was, you know, looking at this as a topic is that it also can be something that can be detrimental to us, because it starts wanting to, you know, basically fragment things and have separations with the mind and the body being in different aspects of itself, when really we had gone back to that with this, you know, specialties in medicine and all the different ways that we break things apart and have it where it's just that thing. And then, thankfully for me, it seems like we're coming back together with more of a holistic look at the whole body or a whole process or, you know, even the world itself, and having something that really, you know, everything is integrated, just as nature, and being able to have that, all those things working in harmony with one another. So it's about the strengths of connection. And we can kind of get into the conscious and the subconscious and the super consciousness, you know, depending on where Amy wants to jump in with this. So any of that, Amy, you want to jump on?
Well, I just want to throw this out, because it's interesting trying to mix some of these things together. When you say sensible mind, for me, I think of the frontal lobe, where you have critical thinking. But when you say sensible, my brain goes to evoking many senses. So does that resonate at all for you?
Yeah, I see what you're sensing. You know, sensing. See, I even said it. See what you're saying about that. Yeah, and even when you say sensing, to me, I want to bring in intuition. I sense that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, and also, you know, the sense, but also, smell and, you know, different ways of bringing in information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Because there's so many ways that we do bring information in. Yeah, that's interesting that you'd say that.
Consciousness, I think, you know, people were thinking about, they figured there's so many ways to come at this, so we'll just kind of play with it. When you think of, you know, consciousness and thinking, you know, that's one thing, but there's also consciousness and feeling. So, and then you're talking about sensible as being discerning. So because we've got so much information coming at us, and I think a lot of times people look at what's coming to us in terms of thoughts. and discriminating mm-hmm. based on thoughts. So, mm-hmm. and then let's just, so that's consciousness. Now we're talking about subconsciousness, which they say where a lot of our beliefs lie, and that, you know, mm-hmm. it's upwards of 90% of our behaviors come from that subconscious. It's like the iceberg metaphor, that 10% mm-hmm. of our beliefs we know we have, and 90% are subconscious, and that they pop up with behaviors. So, mm-hmm. So now that we're thinking of the thinking with the thoughts, but also the emotions and the body sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like one of the things I know, this actually came from a book that I had been looking at, that was looking at just the ownership of all those different things and how we can learn to have a new sense of integration, a new way of really connecting with all those aspects of our subconscious, conscious, and super consciousness or higher self, depending what you want to call that. And it was talking about, you know, it's very, very important for us to understand and to share our emotions. And being able to look at that from just like you're saying, so it's kind of the consciousness of our feelings, you know, how do I feel about that? And those different things that are giving me information for that. But then going into the higher self or super consciousness, it's seeking to follow those senses of inspiration or intuition or just that sense of being able to keep ourselves open to things that are they're seeking to get us to be motivated to be moving something, whether it's a creative process, ideas and different things that we have to want to be putting them into motion, whatever that looks like. And I really, because you and I were talking just a little bit right after before we got on about just the aspects of maybe even critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that comes from that the frontal lobe and, you know, in being a good critical thinker, Peter Drucker as a, management expert who I really admired in my studies. And one thing that he said, I was teaching critical thinking at University of Phoenix, and in doing research about that, he said that we never have to make a decision. And I thought, wow. It was like, blowing my mind. What he said.
Yeah, that's kind of blowing my mind. Really, how can we never make a decision? Do I want the chocolate milk or the regular milk? That's a decision. Come on.
You ask really good questions. You have the courage to really listen to the answers, and then at some point you know what to do. So you say, "What? Some good questions about what kind of milk do I have, Robin?"
I have chocolate. I have chocolate and regular.
No, but okay. So the question is, what do you like better, chocolate milk or milk without chocolate?
It would depend on what I'm going to eat with it.
Well, there you go. So there's your question. Right?
Am I going to eat something with it, or am I just going to drink it? There you go. See? Yeah.
See, so it's like
if I'm having a chocolate chip cookie, then I would want the regular milk.
Well, see there, right? But that's a question you would ask yourself. What am I eating it with?
Right. 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 But if I'm just having chocolate milk, if I'm having milk, just have milk, I'm going to have chocolate milk. There you go.
See, again, that's a series of questions. So that would be a good homework assignment, you know? Start noticing when you get caught about do I do this or that, maybe think about what are some questions that you could ask yourself that you could easily, now I know what to do.
Yeah, wow. So in going back to the theme of the show and having a sensible mind, would that mean basically just asking questions?
Yes or no. But yes, you can ask questions, but then are you in a place where you can really listen to the answers?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. You need to get yourself, do you? And I think that takes courage, right?
It does take courage, yeah.
So I always tell people, certainly with me, don't be asking me questions if you don't want my real answers.
That's
I'm
right.
Right, to say something, but if you ask me, I will tell you. And I think the universe
works
the same way.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right, when you pose
a
question,
that's
right, the universe answers you. Right?
Well, and if you look at sensible, it means chosen in accordance with wisdom or prudence, likely to be benefit. So if it's beneficial for me. Well, chocolate milk is beneficial for me.
So we need, right. Well, no, but you may say, yeah, the calories, right? What is
uh-huh.
it to, am I lactose intolerant? You know what I mean? There's
uh-huh.
a whole lot of other parts to that, right? So
yeah.
it's it, 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 one of the traditional critical thinking tools is a pros and con list. Well, you get to determine what's on the pros and what's on the cons. And if you really want something bad enough, you're going to put as many pros on there as you can, right? You're going to pad your bets so you get what you want.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about sensible is there's
is
in the definition.
Right,
so there's two different ones. Right. So there's statement of there's an active one, which is a statement or course of action. And then in sensible, it could be in defining an object. Is it sensible? Is it practical or functional rather than decorative? That's interesting,
again,
too.
What is there? Is that plant a weed or a flower?
Right.
Who gets to decide
and, you know,
that?
Right. And, you know, a rose bush could be in the wrong place. It can be a weed. Because we decided we don't want it someplace. Yeah.
So let's just talk about this for a minute. So let's talk about this unconsciousness and how it's affecting us. And this is a low-ball estimate, I think. What we think, 50,000 thoughts a day. I think that's a low number, but
that's
look
low.
Around.
Yeah,
it is
that's
a low.
Low.
Let's just say 50,000,
okay,
a day.
That sounds more like
and 90%, it. 90% of our thoughts are unconscious. And so we're acting on our thoughts and our feelings. Then we pay the price or reap the rewards. So what we're talking about here, correct me if I'm wrong, is taking the time to ignite, or however you want to say this. I'm not a fan of the sensible thinking. I don't like that term because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But to me, it's more bringing it to the forefront, to your present, right, to make a decision. And bringing that unconscious forward in a way that it isn't happening just automatically in our behaviors. Then we start noticing, oh, wow, when that happens, I do this. Do I like that or do I not like that?
It's really getting in touch with yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, you start paying attention to that. You start noticing, you know, like, you know, like, oh, I've been whatever, afraid of success, you know, whatever, however you term it. You start noticing things that you're doing because of those beliefs that no longer serve you. So you talked about the superconscious. So you got the subconscious right within you. You got the conscious that's what you can you're tapping into. So how would you define the superconscious?
Well, like I said a little bit ago, it's that higher self. Or somebody would call that. To me, it's really tapping into my, some people would call it your sense of soul, your intuition in the way that you're looking at things, being able to really, you know, that inner self of you that really carries your wisdom self.
So is that intuition yours?
That's a good question. I mean, that's what, I mean, you know, Deepak Chopra's been searching that one for a long time. He's like, who is the witness? Are you the witness, or is there a witness that this is a part of your experience?
So when you go and so during your busy day at work, again, you're making decisions all the time, probably more than a whole lot of people are, because you're not only making decisions for yourself, but for your business, right, and for the employees, and for the suppliers, and for the customers. So walk me through, just play this out, how your conscious and subconscious and superconscious play in your making decision, let's say today at work.
Okay, well, even in my today work, I was planning a couple days ago for just stuff that I knew was going to be happening today or the next couple days, making sure that I have things in flow for just logistics. Different things that are be happening, but in looking at that is like, what's my week and look like? Where am I going to be? When I'm going to be? What makes sense to go ahead and get resources and stuff that I need and make sure things are, you know, getting taken care of the way they need to.
So it's kind of, I think to me, it's kind of hard to know on some levels how my my subconscious is really helping me with that. But I think, you know, part, like you said, I think part of it's my belief systems and what I can or can't get done, that kind of thing. And then with consciousness,
you're basing some of your decisions on what's happened in the past, right? In terms of events that are coming up.
Well, you know,
it's
good rational.
Or that's bad.
Yeah, it can be rational and discriminating of knowing what worked and what didn't work, and having that be something that's functional. And, you know, and I think that's something that's really to be said as you get older, just for the fact that you've had that many more experiences of what worked and didn't work, to be able to move that into a new place of being. And I think that is part of the sensible mind. Let me be sensible in the way that I think, you know, maybe we could call it the practical mind. Instead of sensible.
I like practical better.
Yeah, but I like how you moved it into sense, the sensible of like taking your senses in the way that you're having that be something that you utilize with all the different aspects of your different consciousness. I think that's a really.
So you made a decision about something, and then you have that doesn't feel right to me anymore. Does that come up for you?
Sure, absolutely.
So what do you do then? So you've made a decision based on what usually happens. You get into that environment, and then something's not feeling right. What do you do?
Well, nowadays, before I might run to a different alternative, but nowadays I really want to just kind of breathe and stop. And, you know, I think a part of what's kind of I'm seeing with this is the value of meditation when it comes to having a sense of sensibility of things and being able to slow it down a little bit, look at all the different aspects of things and know that it's as slow as I can slow myself down and be able to seek to have a wider picture, how that can benefit me and others in just my sense of my awareness of what's going on and what could be going on.
So when you say that, my perception would be, and I think a lot of people, when you say, oh, I meditate, that in the morning you stop and meditate for an hour and then you start your day. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I wake up and meditate before I get out of bed.
So, but when you're in the minute, yes, yay. So that's part of your practice. You've wired into your life. But then you're in the middle of your day, and you've got something set up, but then you get this intuitive hit, or the super conscious is saying something to you, however you want to frame that. You meditate in the morning, but how does that help you at 3 in the afternoon?
Because for me, I get into a place of asking for help. Like, usually it's like, where are my keys?
Okay.
I've been busy looking at different stuff, and I'll be like, okay, let me slow down. Where did I put my car keys?
So
you
are
know?
You saying,
or where
so
did
you,
I put,
I need,
where did
you,
I put my phone?
People,
yeah.
Right, to make this more concrete. But you meditated an hour in the morning. How does that help you to find your keys in the afternoon?
It helps me to put me back in that mindset of being open.
Okay, so
to
you're
not
kind of
being
that
frantic.
You've acclimated to that. You've learned how to be in the morning.
Yeah.
You can stop
and
be in that space in the afternoon to find your keys. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I take a deep breath, and I seek to just kind of quiet my mind, and I start slowly running back in my head probably the last three to 5 minutes of where have I been, or when was the last time I did see my car keys.
Okay. That's cool.
Or use my car keys.
That makes a lot of sense to me as you're saying this. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I mean, I think you would do that with problem solving as well. And like when I'm running into that situation, and like you said, if I've had situations in the past where I had something similar, when you're slowing it down and running it through your mind, maybe in comparing multiple experiences at the same time, which we can do easily if we allow ourselves to just be open to seeing the experiences and then having something, a sense of the merging of different things and seeing that there'd be a new solution. One thing I've noticed this last year for me is that I'm getting ideas of problem solving that I never would have thought about, even though I've been doing similar stuff for 30 years. and it'll stop me, and I'll just stop and go, wow, I never even thought of that.
Well, I
think it makes it easier.
That thing that serves you, like you were saying, also goes against you, and that, oh, I already have that answer, and that can kill creativity.
I absolutely, yeah, I think you're right.
So,
because if you're open to just, and that's part of like really tapping into the super consciousness or the higher self or whatever you want to call it. It's keeping that place where, you know, I can be open to new ideas. And it makes me want to go into the Buddhist traditions of what they call beginner's mind. You know, what if you never experienced that before and you're allowing it just to show itself of what it is? And really, if you're thinking about it, we're always coming into a new way of looking at something because it's a new day. I'm a new person. I have a new perspective. Why wouldn't it be open to something different?
Absolutely. And I think that's really important. So that's that balance. You're using the old beliefs are built to keep you safe somehow, right? Or at least that was the perception.
Right.
And so at some point they become your box that you're trapped in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have that wisdom, but don't let that wisdom from past experiences and decision-making keep you from making fresh, new decisions today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think part of that is being willing to say, yes, I'm going to, you know, look at what's worked in the past. I'm going to, you know, maybe reach out to other people, right, and ask for their ideas. Ultimately, we always have to make our own decision, right? It's our life and what we're living with. But, brainstorming really is a chaos process where you just start throwing, you know, things up in the air. And but you have to have the courage to wait till you know when you know. Instead of I'm going to make a decision because I have to make a decision right now because I'm tired of being in tension.
Right.
And sometimes you have to because there's a client coming in at 3 o'clock and you have to give a presentation. Or talk to a person planning a wedding. And so sometimes there is that time constraint. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other times, I'm a really amazing mentor of mine. She did music and imagery process. It was really amazing. And she would have us sit and play music doing visualizations. And one of the things that she always told me was, hold with the tension. Don't be in such a hurry to make yourself comfortable. Does that make sense? Because there's that, the dark before the dawn, as they say. There's that uncomfortable, I don't know, period. You come, and then we're back to Peter Drucker, you don't have to make a decision. You ask the right questions, have the courage to really listen, and then at some point, you just know.
Well, and that's the same as me losing my car keys or looking for my phone. I just open myself up to, where is that? Or what should I do? What should I do?
That's a good question.
You know, what should I do?
Start with the not feeling like you have to know necessarily, right?
Yeah.
But
what should I do? Louise Hay should always said in her things was, show me what I need to know today. What do I need to know? Yeah, what do I need to know? And I think that's a great question to ask yourself anytime when there's any kind of thing kind of going, or how does that help me? Or how can I help myself? Or how can I help another? So there's not a sense of an answer. It's just looking for guidance. It's looking for a direction of a way to move. And like you said, maybe the next thing is like, and this too, and what else? And what else is possible? That's beginner's mind as well, being able to be in this place of...
Do I need to force a decision right now?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you not finding your keys right now opens up to you staying where you're at for a few more minutes and somebody walks in the door that can totally change your whole week.
Yeah, I went to a workshop over this last weekend, and it was one of those things like I really didn't know what I was walking into. But yet I was trusting my super consciousness, my higher self, because I basically said, should I go? And I heard, yes, there will be people for you to meet there. So it wasn't necessarily about the actual workshop. It was the fact of the interaction with people, other people who were attending. It was an important thing for me to be able to experience. So the next thing was like, you know, does that feel right for me to go? And it felt, yeah, I'm going to go.
So part of that is your
trust muscles, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me give you a little exercise for our, you know, for you and for our listeners on how to start observing, yeah, what is going on inside of me, and maybe how can I slow that volley down a little bit before I act. Mm-hmm. So first thing you want to start observing your actions, especially ones that you do routinely and without thought. I always drive this way. I always have that food at this place. I always, right? So you want to just start, first, noticing what am I doing, say, especially those routine things that you just do, you don't even think about. And then slowing down those thoughts and catch them. Once you get there, right, then you want to start moving into slow down those thoughts, like you're saying, and start catching them before they become actions. And then before that, before it becomes an action, ask yourself some questions. Here's some. What's going on here now? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What is life presenting to me? What am I going to do with this? And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. If you start doing that as a practice, you can boom, boom, no. One of the things that I'm doing with my friend Katie, you know, who's been on our show many times, we love her dearly, A Year of Living Mindfully. It's a book by Anna Black. And the very first week, it's an assignment each week. And this week's assignment is to free flow write for 3 minutes a day. And then once you do that, write a sentence or two of what does that mean for you. So I talk about redecision. I took mindfulness training, the Jon Kabat-Zinn 12-week training. I got certified in that 20 years ago. And so when it was on sale, Barnes & Noble, I got it for $7. You know? So I was like, okay, great. And so I said, well, she got it, so I got it. And I love the illustrations as much as anything. And I said, well, do you want to do this together for, you know, this next year? Gives us an excuse to meet weekly and have something to talk about. And so, yes, and so the first day was, why am I doing this? I already know everything I need to know about mindfulness, blah, 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 blah. It's like, all right, so maybe I do need to do this, right? Maybe I need to be mindful of my mindfulness. If you think you got it all figured out, you might need to take a moment with it.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the ladies that I met over the weekend, we started having a conversation about intuition, and she didn't really know what that was. She didn't know about the idea of being intuitive. She goes, I've never heard about that. What is that? And it kind of shocked me. I was like, what? What? So we had this great conversation about, you know, tapping into, you know, those parts of yourself that are creative and problem solving and all these different things that are literally, you know, just waiting to be messengers of wisdom for you and being able to, you know, develop that. Because it's just like anything else. It's like going to the gym and pumping muscle. The more that I love the idea of you guys doing your 3 pages and seeing where you go with that.
No, 3 minutes, not 3 pages. You're thinking the artist way.
Oh, 3 minutes. Okay, well, 3 minutes is good. Yeah, 3 minutes is like where I go from that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, we just think about this.
Yeah.
Because of that interaction, I'm 99% sure that's why we're having this conversation tonight.
Yeah, I think so too. Because like it's that what's, you know,
are you
and,
intuiting
and
that
what's
or are you
the next thing?
That? Are you sensibly thinking that or are you intuiting that?
Yes.
Oh, good answer.
Well, and I think it can be the same answer.
I'm not arguing with
you. No. Yeah, I think it can be. And if people go, what? And I'm like, yeah, I think it can be.
I think that's
the fun part of
stopping.
Yeah.
Stopping and taking that time to meditate, have those still moments during your day. Meditating certainly in the morning at night is great, but you need those still points. You know what it feels like then if you're a meditator. Have those still points during your day and stop and journal for a minute about what am I thinking, what am I feeling, what do I want to do with this, and then act. And you can teach yourself within 2 or 3 minutes to do that before you make a decision that may be a price you have to pay later.
I think that's a great idea.
Thank you very much. It's
just giving you an opportunity to be able to shift gears and to be just looking for something to be open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so different than having that meditation where I'm walking down a path and then, you know, I open a door and I don't know what's behind that door. And it's going to give me an answer that I never thought of. What's behind the door?
Amen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm hoping we gave everybody some food for thought. And food
yeah,
for
absolutely.
Intuition.
Yeah. So thanks for the exercise. I think that's a great idea. And just really being open to have, just like you were saying, you know, with your senses and,
mm-hmm.
and having that be something that really helps you to come into just a different awareness of, you know, what's around me. And, you know, because I always have people telling me that. I'll be on a walk with somebody and I'm like noticing the fragrance of the willow trees and things like that. And they're looking at me like, wow, I don't even notice that. And I'm like, you're always into all these little detail things. And I'm just like, you know, it's the way that I look at life. Just like they
yeah,
look at life a little different than me, and they can share that with me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so I think that's something
that
really feeds us. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, just reminding everybody, we're going to be starting Energy Speaks by Lee Harris in a couple weeks. So we'd really love for people to jump on and be able to take a look at that book. There's going to be some great things to share with that for a few weeks. I'm looking forward to that. I love Lee Harris, and he's great. So if you go to leeharrisenergy.com, he's got some great stuff on his site. And if you go to YouTube, you can go to Lee Harris, and he's got some great he always does a monthly energy forecast of what's kind of happening on the planet. I think it's nice to have a little snapshot. To me, it's like self-care for the soul. I love the different ways that he really helps with that, too. So I'm looking forward to Amy and I and whoever wants to jump on the calls and just kind of share what they're getting from it and some of the insights and stuff. We'd love to have you guys join us. So just let us know, you know, if you're interested in being able to have that. So you have a wonderful night, my girl. Thank you so much for joining me.
I will. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate all
yeah,
you do, my dear.
Yeah. And we want to thank all of our guests all over the planet. Thanks for scooting up to the table here at the Transformation Cafe. We really appreciate you, and just have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.